dbkmediaservices.com. You are listening to the SVC Sports Talk Podcast. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com. And now, here are your hosts, Shane Combs, John Bruce, and Bruce Knox. Hello, everybody, and welcome in to SVC Sports Talk. My name is Bruce Knox, and you're listening to show 297. This is season 10 of SVC Sports Talk, brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com. 100% SVC, 100% of the time. And I'd like to bring in the two gentlemen who will do most of the talking tonight and throughout the show, throughout the season, actually. Say hello first to our friend John Bruce. Mr. Bruce, how goes it?
Oh, pretty good. How about you, Bruce?
I'm hanging in there. How are things in the coaching realm these days for you?
Just kind of going with the flow. never know when we're going to play. Have a general idea of it, but right.
Flexibility is the word, right?
Yes. Yep. Maybe this year flexibility is the best ability to have. No. It's kind of, a good thing with the lower level that you're not doing a ton of scouting. Like, you're doing a little bit, but it's not as, you don't have as much access to video and stuff. So that makes it to where, you're working on yourself more. So yep. you can go whenever.
Just tell us where to be and when, right?
Yep. Yep, we'll go play. Kind of like the BYU thing. As long as we can play four quarters, we'll play it.
You just
whatever,
send the equipment truck across country if necessary. Correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All I'm right. sure we're not allowed out of the state and come back, but yeah.
That's true. That's true. And say hello to Shane Combs, Mr. Combs. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great, guys. It's a busy time. Kind of glad to step away here for a little holiday break and, balancing the website and Great Seal Sports, and then obviously the coaching and all that different stuff. So good report on my father-in-law, Mark Gray. Want to give a shout out if he's able to listen this week. Been a long haul in the hospital for him. Looks like he's got several weeks still there, but we feel like the reports have him on the good side of things, and we're just praying that it continues to go that well. So all people out in the SVC land, I wanted to say thank you. It's incredible. All the different places I go in the SVC, people I don't even know, Mark's been a person in the SVC community through his days at Southeastern, and then obviously his family at Huntington.
Right.
So real, real appreciative of all the prayers and very, very thankful.
Well, we are glad to hear that. That is some good news. You say he will still be in the hospital for a while, but he's on the downhill side. So that's great. That's wonderful. Yes. Well, guys, as we approach this show 297, one of the things I kind of thought about, let you put your editor's hat in on here, and I thought maybe we'd play some headline composition games here. First, give you two each, one on boys, one on girls. On hard-to-hide headlines, this is the loud or the obvious headline that even Bruce Knox would probably say if he were going to have to come up with about SVC. And let's go first with boys. John, what's your first boys hard-to-hide headline about SVC at this point?
Dina and Uniota are unbeaten and at the top of the league.
Okay.
I feel like that's very difficult to hide.
It is.
Both teams have been pretty impressive so far. Dean has been really impressive. Uniota is going through taking care of business, while Adina is just putting it on teams. Logan Bennett, his week this week was hilarious. 25, 25, and 26 after, like, I I would love to see the game film of the Westfall Adina game for how he did not score a point. I know he fouled out, but like that has to be the game plan everyone's got to look at, because he's putting up over 20 points a game with that with that game included. I mean, he's just been unbelievable for the Warriors. You know, really good kid. Really glad to see him climbing up the ranks of the all-time SEC. Well, Unieta's led by Isaac Little. Just a steady scorer. You know, some quarters he'll have five. Others, I mean, sometimes he has more in a quarter, but usually it's just he's getting a couple of baskets a quarter, and so sometimes you forget about it. In the end of the night, you look at it, he's got 22 points. Mm-hmm. Like last night at Zane Trace, at the end of the game, I saw he had 22 points. I was like, I would have thought he had like 14, but I knew he played well, but not like that. And also, both teams are getting some really good supporting help. Adina, you know, the crew that's been around forever with Sykes and Garrison. Dylan McDonald's playing really well. Throckmorton's just nasty defensively. Then over on Unieta, Tavion Galloway really coming into his own. A couple double-figure games this weekend. Cameron DeBoard completely shut down, one of the league's top scorers on Friday. He just keeps doing that on wing players and been really special. And then they're averaging almost 20 points a game off the bench out of their three bench. Hmm. Their three guys that play a lot off the bench. So, I mean, if you don't, if you slow down one or two of the starters, they're still getting a lot of production out of their team. So that's why, in my opinion, both are at the top right now.
All right. Shane, you had to know if you gave John the first choice that he was going to go there. I anticipate that you anticipated that as well. What's your hard-to-hide headline for boys?
Well, I think we're on the same page with the teams. I went a little bit more specific in terms of experience proving to be important in early season standings. I think when you look at Adina and Unieta at the top, the experience is really, really important, particularly at the guard position. You know, when you consider, I had a chance once in person, once on film this week to watch Unieta in both games. Adina several times, getting to see them on film. It's the experience at the guard play that makes the kids that maybe are filling into some new roles able to do so in a more comfortable way. When you consider with Little and DeBoard and Greenwalt and so forth, it allows everyone else just to comfortably fit in. Same way with what's going on there. With Adina, not just the ability of a Sykes and a Bennett, but when you consider the ball handling ability and think about how many games now Garrison's into his career, mm-hmm. And Throckmorton and so forth, I think it's a team that's come a long way defensively, much better defensively in terms of at more positions. I felt like in years past, if you were prepared, if you were disciplined and there were matchups you could really exploit, where I don't see as many of those now. I think Adina is a much more complete, a much more connected team on the defensive end. So that's something. You know, these two teams will meet. We're going to take the 1 week off and we're going to come back. So we'll actually be on the air right after they play. So we're going to talk a little bit about these two teams toward the end of the show. So some of our boys basketball fans, you'll want to catch that toward the end. But certainly when you talk obvious headline, Bruce, it's hard to ignore those two teams.
Certainly is. That's correct. Okay, guys, let's flip and go to the SVC girls side. John, your hard to hide headline here.
Adina and Southeastern appear to be heading for a showdown for the title in the SVC. Adina started off 8-0, 5-0 in the league, no seniors on the roster, doing it in a different way than Southeastern is doing it, because Southeastern's really led by three seniors. Macy Graves has been awesome so far. Sydney Huff's been really good. Sarah Mitten played a ton of games, has been good. They're getting help from different places. Audrey Scott, Gabby Purnell, and you know they've lost a couple of non-league games to some really good teams. They lost a couple, like not lost, but they have they're behind a couple games in games played in the standings because of the quarantine issues. But man, they've really shown that, you know, experience does still mean something with on the girls' side. While Adina, like I mentioned, no seniors. Jaden Smith, you know, is a player that we've seen for the last couple of years. We knew she'd be continue to evolve her game. But man, Kiara Williams and Emma Garrison are really special for freshmen. Then you throw in a Shai Ader who's rebounding like crazy with Sydney Focalsong being out right now. And, you know, Minor and Willis and both Lovelies. Kayla Lovely seems like she just makes about 40 things happen a game. Like she scores 2 points and just makes a bunch of stuff happen. So, you know, their showdown will be coming up a little bit later. You know, I think it's a week or so into January, but, you know, it's definitely, you know, they're both 2 games free of everyone else in the loss column. So it's appears to be the one to look for.
All right. And Shane, on the girls' side, your hard-to-hide headline.
I went with day after day, Adina playing at an elite level. See what I did there, John?
Mm-hmm. I like it.
Yeah, with Coach Day and what he's doing there at Adina is impressive. There's a team that you've certainly been hit a little bit with some adversity, with some quarantine here and there, but for the most part, their schedule's been the one untouched, you know, and they're taking full advantage of it, using their depth, using their incredible guard play. John kind of rattled off the roster there really, really well, but again, I know Bruce will kind of make fun of me for saying this, but let's be honest with about guard play.
There
you know what
go.
I'm saying?
There
it's one of those things when you can handle it and score it and you can play from the point in both wings, it makes the game a lot easier to play. And it is impressive. So we'll talk a little bit more throughout the show about Adina. I don't know. And maybe I'll be hinting a little bit after, and as we get into our next type of headline, I don't know if the Southeastern team is getting some of that obvious attention that maybe John said there in his headline. I might disagree with him a little bit here in a little bit. But certainly we agree in terms of Adina being the obvious headline to this point in the girls' league.
All righty. Let's take a break from our headlines. Shane, otherwise, after we get through the headlines here, we're going to do another one just on this side of Shane's update here on what all is on the agenda, if you will.
Yeah, we're going to look at a little bit more of a hidden headline. I think those obvious ones for the people playing along listening to the show, I think it would be hard not to look at Adina Unieta boys on the one side, Adina girls there on the other, in terms of what they've been doing in the early going. But as we get going, we'll, as always, give a shout out to each of our sponsors. We have North Fork Animal Clinic. We have Advanced Services. We have Pickaway Ross Career and Technology Center. We appreciate all of them. And as always, Bruce will give a shout out to each of them as we go through our segments. And tonight's segments, we're going to be looking into the inbox. There's a question about depth. It's kind of an interesting question from a coach's perspective, John, to kind of talk about is depth important, overrated? What's depth mean? You know, why do coaches sub? Why don't coaches sub? Some of those things. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a really intelligent question from one of our listeners. We also are going to talk a little bit of girls and boys where we go back to our preview show when we were talking not just player of the year, but we were talking first team type of talent, and maybe even stretching it out even to a top 10. How did we do? Who were we obviously correct about? Maybe are there some players that are jumping out that are surprising us that have entered that mix? And then with this being our final show of 2020, we'll kind of look back and say, outside of the obvious COVID-19, what is it that we remember about 2020 in terms of sports? And we'll even take a look at that big Uniota-Adina boys matchup coming up at Uniota there on January 2nd. So, again, throughout all of that, we'll be thanking our sponsors. Again, can't tell you enough how much we appreciate their support. There's North Fork Animal Clinic, Advanced Services, And then there's Pickaway Ross Career and Technology Center. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And Bruce, I'll kind of throw it back over to you. I know we're going to kind of go a different route of headline before we get into our segments of the show.
Yeah, we are. We're going to kind of go for the hidden headline. That is something that maybe is overlooked and getting lost this in the season. And John, we're going to come to you first on this, a hidden headline for the boys' side.
I would say Zane Trace's Nalen Robinson is a rising star in the SVC. I know, obviously, with his game, his second half, really, against Westfall on Friday, it kind of made some headlines there, 20 points and a come-from-behind effort there in the second half for him. But Saturday night against Unionetta, our game plan was to stop both of the bigs inside. But, man, when he's so strong, he's skilled. He's methodical, just takes his time, which you don't see a lot of big guys do anymore. Usually now you see if someone wants to make a post move, they get it and go. He's going to feel you out, see where is the best way for him to attack. Very efficient from the free throw line. He's averaging about 14, 15 a game in the league. That's pretty solid for a team that's not scoring a ton of points, but they're going to sit down and guard you. And he's done a really good job for him so far. And I think, man, he's one of those kids that in a couple of years we could see him as a future player of the year. And I think this is his breakout season after having somewhat like really a breakout game down in the district finals last year when they won the district championship against Ironton was kind of his breakout game. Now I think this is going to be his breakout season.
All right. Fair enough. Shane, what about your hidden headline for the boys' side?
Well, again, a similar train of thought, maybe a little different angle. I talked about how the name Zane Trace still carrying a lot of weight throughout the SVC. And I guess where I'm going with this, John, is the fact that when you get into some of these head-to-head matchups, I still think dealing with high school kids as long as I have, there's so much of a confidence or a lack thereof sometimes in terms of like when you think you're supposed to beat certain opponents or you think that, man, we've never beaten them. And I think there's a lot to that. And that's a hard thing to talk to the average fan about, because when you're dealing with, 14, 15, 16, 17 year old kids, it's funny to know what's going through their minds sometimes. And I see it all the time. I'll see certain matchups where I'll see teams go in and because they've never beaten a certain team or whatever, they'll just mess up and do things that have nothing to do with their opponent. It's almost a mental block that they have to get over. And Zane Trace is a program that just has a certain standard that they play to on the defensive end. And I think that's what really separates them right now from so many different teams in the league that on paper going into the league, we weren't sure about. And now, will that be the case all year long? I don't know, but right now it's certainly been the case. And as you go down through the standings, I wouldn't panic too much about Piketon right now. Piketon's obviously had a little bit of a tough part of their schedule. I think they're going to be fine. Their preseason was a tricky one right. For sure. You go down the standings for whatever reason, Paint Valley hasn't quite gel. I think their confidence was really shaken in that fourth quarter mess against Western and they haven't rebounded very well. They're having trouble finding their consistency on the offensive end. Now, Saturday night, they were in real, real trouble in the first two and a half quarters of that game. And then basically that game came down to one team had Cordell Grubb and the other one didn't. So maybe that's what jump starts them. We'll see. But Southeastern's obviously went through some difficulties. Westfall's had some scheduling difficulties. And so there's a lot of factors there that, once everyone's able to maybe string together some time, if that's the case, maybe that evens out a little bit. But right now, John, even in the Uniota loss, I watched that game. I thought Zane Trace just really did some things that has kind of proven to put them still – way ahead of some other teams that are maybe trying to run them down. I feel like that's a fair observation.
Yeah, I completely think that's fair, because there's times where in the early season where we've gotten to start to extend it and then just continue to do it, where Zane Trace wasn't ever letting that happen. Well, it stayed at, I don't think it got closer than four in the fourth quarter, but it felt like every time we hit a big shot, they hit one right back and stayed in the game. Because they just do so many things well. They're so well coached. Offensively, that's going to keep coming for them. So I think that's when they become scary later in the year is when they start really clicking offensively. Because, man, that defense is nasty. And they're going to compete every night.
Mm-hmm. All right. Good headline there. John, on the girls' side, what would you say is our hidden headline?
I would say, really, don't forget that this is still a really young league. We talk about the league being having some parity with, a lot of the league teams. Many of the league teams have two losses already. Four or three have two losses. Then Huntington goes and beats a really good Paint Valley team Saturday night. It's just you don't really know what's going to happen in this league because it's pretty much filled with parity. Maybe not as much at the top, but really through the rest. Because I still think that Zane Trace team is pretty dangerous. But I think when you look at the league, I think a lot of that parity comes from the fact that it's really young overall. Southeastern's senior heavy, but I mean, like I mentioned, Adina doesn't have a senior. Uniota has two, but from the games I've seen, don't start either. Westfall has a couple. Farmers, valuable, obviously, but for the most part, they're pretty much junior heavy. Paint Valley, I know, has one senior, but is still very young. Piketon doesn't have a senior. Huntington, obviously, Basie's only a junior. So, I mean, these are stars that are coming back for next year. And I just think you're going to see this league continue to get better throughout the season. And then next season should be even better. And even beyond that, because there's a lot of really talented sophomores and freshmen playing in this league right now as well.
Okay. Shane, your hidden headline on the girls' side.
I went with Southeastern saying, "Hey, remember us." I don't know if I totally agree, John. I think John, obviously, being a basketball person like John or myself, we understand Southeastern's right. Really good. But with some of the lack of games and the quarantining and the non-conference losses, maybe it's the Adina start. I guess I'm going off the pulse of what I'm hearing around the league or the area in terms of like people kind of throwing Southeastern to the side. And, look, I get it. I mean, they've had some crazy adversity so far. They've been in and out of the gym. They've challenged themselves in the non-conference. Some of the games early in the year, they were probably going to use to kind of get rolling a little bit, didn't get played. I believe Trimble is still undefeated as of last check. The other day on the road, Colgrove, they're playing a really good team. They're up 50-41 in the fourth quarter. The Colgrove coach gets a technical. It looks like Southeastern's going to roll, and then it just didn't end well. Keep in mind, Southeastern played all week during this without Alexis Bells. They're down a starter. The Westfall double overtime game the other night's probably the game, boys or girls, of the SVC season so far. Just an incredible game. Breakout for Marissa Mullins, 24 points, 12 rebounds, 3 blocks. We know what you're going to get from Petit and Farmer. But at the end of the day, it's Macy Graves hitting big shots. I mean, she hit about a 22, 23 footer in that second overtime. I think Westfall was up one. And that thing was deep, and it was one of those where as soon as it's come out of her, it was coming right out of her hands. And I've coached against Macy long enough to know that that's good. It's she's got to get that gut feeling from the bench sometimes, John, where you just know certain players, that's not good. And, but man, give Westfall credit. I mean, again, it goes back to Edina and Southeastern are really, really good, but I'm telling you, this league's good. And this league is going to be really, really difficult. So the fact that Edina is out to the 5-0 start's really, really impressive. Southeastern underneath the 3-0. And Southeastern's really been challenged a couple times, but yeah, really all three times. I mean, think about Southeastern's three league wins. Piketon was tied with a minute to go. Huntington led all three quarters against Southeastern before Southeastern outscored them 17-6. And then obviously Westfall up 6 going in the fourth quarter the other night. It goes double overtime in Southeastern. Yes, so you know, again, that's that experience. That's that, you know, players making plays. But I just feel like maybe people, because of that, have maybe counted Southeastern out, and I think that's silly. You know, I mean, I think that, you know, they're undefeated in the league. It's just kind of the way the schedule's going to work out right now. But at the same time, don't count out the other six teams on a given night being able to stick their nose in there when you know, whenever this Piketon team's really good. Westfall just proved the other night they're really good. Uniota just had a young kid hit 5 threes the other night, right? St. Trace game.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, you know, with an Allison Basie, Payne Valley only getting about a half a point to a point out of their bench. You know, if they're able to figure out this depth thing, and that's, they're going to become a more dangerous team. So all of these teams, you mentioned Zane Trace, good basketball team. They're getting better all the time. So I just wouldn't count those types of things out. But I think in a hidden headline, Bruce, that people have kind of maybe not given Southeastern its due for whatever reason.
All righty. Well, that's a lot of good headline stuff for tonight. We're going to get to an inbox question here, but first we want to mention Advanced Services Heating and Cooling. And they're waiting for you to give them a call, whether it's installation, repair, or maintenance. Their team's available 24/7 to respond, and they look forward to helping you for all of your comfort needs. Advanced Services Heating, Cooling, and Refrigeration can be found by calling 877-947-4499 or look them up on the web, where their web address is advancedservicesHVAC.com. Over 20 years of serving Southern Ohio. And now our inbox question, as I mentioned. This came in and it says, I have a serious question about depth. Shane, you were just kind of talking about that with the PV situation in the girls' side. I will see some teams play just 5 kids. I will see some teams play or try to play 10 kids. Is depth overrated? What's the perfect number? Sometimes it seems that coaches just sub to get kids in the game, but I see other times where coaches appear afraid to sub. Lots of different things there you can address in that, and I'll just kind of throw it out there. I don't know which one of you guys want to comment first.
Well, John, I'd ask a question first. I think at the younger levels, I think you do purposely sub sometimes because you probably have an idea of, hey, I want kids to play a certain amount of minutes. Let's start with that. At the junior high, you as a freshman coach, you as a JV coach, is that fair? Is that a good place to start here? Don't you probably have an idea of, hey, in developmental stages here, I want to win, but I think I need to get this many people in the game?
Right. Yeah, I do think so. I think you also want to make sure that you're not putting different lineups out that aren't comfortable with each other, that don't mesh. Mm-hmm. So you probably, if you have one point guard, they're probably going to be playing more minutes. But if you have two, then you're going to try to mix them in with both sets of lineups, I would guess. You know, and it's, you know, with your big guys, it's, you know, depending on how big are they going to be? Because sometimes at the junior high, I remember we had do you remember a Christian Dunkel?
Mm-hmm.
When we just came back to, we came to Uniota 14 years ago now, I guess. When he was at junior high, he was their center because he was their biggest, but they also had him always working on ball handling. So he was 5'11 as a eighth grader, and he's 5'11 now. So it's just sometimes you got to figure out different positions to play people. So it's not always, okay, well, this kid's 6'2, he should be inside. Well, what if they're going to be 6'2 the rest of their life? You know, so they probably need to work on some ball handling. So maybe put them in different positional groups, give them different shots at different places. And for the most part, yeah, you're trying to build cohesive units while also getting a lot of experience as well.
Well, I thought that was an important place to start because of the younger levels. Now, I feel like this particular email, I assume, is more varsity-driven question, but I wanted to touch on that first. So if I go to the varsity level, Bruce, I guess, yeah, there probably are some teams that play five. There are some teams out there that play 10. I think it's tough to consistently play 10. I think sometimes foul trouble plays a role. I think sometimes it depends on, are you a team that's got, you know, the one or two elite players, and then, you know, 3 through 10 is just kind of whatever, or is it more of a, maybe we have a starting five, we're searching for depth. I think all of those are factors, but the first question there is depth overrated? No, not at all.
No.
That's really, really important. I think, it is by far, as good as Isaac Little is, I think depth is by far Uniota Boys' number one strength. Mm-hmm. I think it's a much improved characteristic of the Edina Boys. It's, again, as good as their guard play is, it is the key ingredient to the Edina girls. So I think a lot of times when I watch some of these games and I see the final 4 minutes of the second quarter, John, with foul trouble and fatigue. And then I look at the final 4 minutes of the third quarter, foul trouble, fatigue. I see it showing up. And sometimes it's not just a matter of how many kids. It's who. You know what I mean? It's what happens is I'll give you a great example. I think the Huntington boys have been a very deceiving group. I watch a lot of their games. They played Uniota really well for 10 minutes. They played Edina really well for about 12 minutes. They played Paint Valley really well for three quarters. And in every single instance, you'll see the ability of the opponent to maybe go two, three, a little deeper in certain positions or in terms of depth, or it could be a particular defensive stopper, or it could be a ball handler. Hey, this particular kid can guard this kid, but if he gets in foul trouble and goes out, we don't have an answer for him, you know, that type of thing. So it's, you know, all those things are factors in it. Do coaches sub just a sub, you know? I think that's an interesting topic. I think a lot of times you purposely do sub in the first quarter or second quarter because you understand just the fatigue throughout. And for teams that maybe don't have the confidence or don't quite have kids that are quite ready to play that role, can it wear on you? Sure, it can wear on you. Go ahead.
Do you ever think that subbing is also a way to break the structure of the game a little bit, the way it's going?
Well, I do. I think sometimes, you know, you're looking. I think, too, a lot of coaches, Bruce, have an idea of some specialty type things.
Right.
Hey, maybe it's a free throw situation. I'm getting ready to press. Mm-hmm. Or maybe I'm getting ready to go on offense. Or hey, this is a great opportunity right here. I'm getting ready to run this quick hitter to get this extra shooter to space the floor. I think all of those things in terms of specialty situations. But I think a lot of it comes down to purposely going a certain route in the first or second quarter. You know, John, I know some coaches still script their subbing. Like they script it to where it's already set. No matter what, I'm doing this. Because a lot of times you may not get in foul trouble that night. You may be rolling, but before you know it, you're 12 minutes into the game and five kids have played or six kids have played, whatever it might be. And then, you know, you're not as confident going as deep in the third quarter. So those are all the things here in my notes in terms of, I don't know what a perfect number is. I mean, I've coached some teams that have been six deep, but because of the versatility within the six, you felt like you were nine deep, you know, or sometimes you're eight deep, but man, that seventh and eighth, they're not quite able to play in certain matchups. So are you really eight deep? So those are some of the things. John, what's your thoughts on the question? Because I think it's a really good email.
Well, you know, first off, I'll say on the is it overrated, I agree that it's not. But I will say there's always the exception to the rule. You know, it depends on how special that top five or six is, if they can keep going. You know, with, as you mentioned, with the versatility. Now, I guess if you're looking at a perfect number, I think it's probably 8 or 9, where you can kind of, you know, a guard, wing, forward, you have those guys that can sub in those spots. I mean, it's different. I think it just goes by what your team has, what your team's built for. I think, you know, you mentioned the scripting subs. I've been doing that at least in my first subs are scripted. Like, okay, this kid's going to play the first, depending on how many minutes we're playing, I guess. This kid's going to play the first 4 minutes, and we're going to put this kid in for them and go on. And then, you know, after that, just kind of adjusting the fly from there. But, you know, I think depth is incredibly important because, like you mentioned, with foul trouble, fatigue, it can make a huge difference in a game, especially how our league plays with back-to-back nights too in the boys' league. If you are, if you are playing 26, 27 minutes on Friday night in a battle, and then you got to come back on Saturday night, well, that same kid's not going to have that same juice and energy for the 25, 26 minutes the next night. So that's where depth is so important, where maybe you can get that kid an extra 2 or 3 minutes, and with timeouts, you can space it out and be more creative on Saturday night to fill all your needs. So I think, you know, obviously depth, very important. I don't think it's overrated at all, but
John, let me go the other route on you. You're talking about kind of the starters there when you say 26, 27 minutes, right? What about the other side of it? When I hear people say, hey, I'm 8 or 9 or I'm 10 deep, I always cringe a little bit because I'm thinking to myself, you better have some really good attitudes. You know what I mean? You better have, because if you're saying you're 10 deep, I'm guaranteeing you're 8, 9, 10 probably isn't playing consistent minutes. It's probably, hey, this night where we're in foul trouble, so-and-so may, you know, get 11 or 12 minutes, where the very next night they may not play, or they may play like 2 minutes in the second quarter, and then the second half didn't call for them. Don't you think that's a factor of, it's really a program culture, and it really comes down to the attitude of your kids?
Yeah, and it's the attitude, understanding roles. It's because, like you said, it could fluctuate any night. I'm going to give myself credit for something here, though. We went down on Wednesday and played Vinton County in a freshman game. I had 8 players go down. Every one of them we played 28 minutes in the game. Every one of them played between 17 and 21 minutes, which was kind of ended up being kind of dumb luck. But, you know, it's just that helps with, you know, with kids, if they can see, okay, I'm playing pretty equal. But at the same time, if you've got like the star on your team, you want to try to get them, keep them going for as much as you can without having them hurt the team. You know, it's really hard on some of these kids where if, you know, they're working hard in practice and maybe they're seeing things even. If one night they get 15, 16 minutes, and then, like you mentioned, the other night get 2 or 3, you know, to stay bought into everything, because if you're going to play 8 or 9, they got to play. Like, you can't just, you know, I think even for, you know, not just necessarily kids, but you see it in college too. Like, college kids, you know, you're there. Yes, they're there for free, but they're there to play. So you sometimes see if a guy's playing like 7, 8 minutes a game, you might hear, oh, he's in the transfer portal. Like, it's because, you know, obviously that's probably not happening in high school, but it's still, you want to play.
The last thing, Bruce, that was in my notes was production. It still comes down to a certain level of production, and you've got to get it from somewhere. Mm-hmm. So if you're only going to play 5 or 6 kids, okay, well, think about this just from a simple math problem. If you're going to play 5 kids, you're asking them to somehow basically average across the lineup 10 points each to get to 50.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's pretty good, John. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. if you had 8, 10, 10, 10, and 12 in the scorebook at the end of the game, wouldn't you think that's pretty balanced?
Yeah.
Well, what if that's all you're getting?
Right.
That's 50 points. Is that enough to win every night? I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, it's one of those things where I coached in a basketball game last night where Huntington outscored us 12-0 on the bench.
Yeah.
Well, that's a pretty big deal. That was a 54-40 game. You know what I'm saying? So it's a situation where it puts a lot of pressure on your top 3-4 players to bring it every night and to play at their average or above, which you might say, well, yeah, that's what you do expect of them. But at the same time, that's not the way the elite teams are built. Yeah, that's mm-hmm. the difference in what I'm saying. If that happens in the bottom, a middle to bottom half team, they're in trouble that night. But that's not the way the elite teams are built. You just gave an example earlier of Logan Bennett scoring 0 in a game. Well, yep. They won by like 30. Right. I mean, like, yeah. You know, there's situations where, you know, these particular kids may have off nights. They have other guys to pick up or to come in. And so that's just something to think about. I thought it was a great email, but I think to say depth is overrated is silly. You may not need the depth as much every night. And that's where attitudes come into play. But, man, depth is really, really important.
You'd rather have it all the time.
Sure.
Yes.
Exactly. All right. A good question there, Mr. Inbox or Mrs. Inbox submitter. We appreciate that. We'll tell you a little bit later how you can submit something as well. Right now, we want to mention Pickaway Ross Career and Technology Center and their adult education program, where they focus on the fact that they offer in-demand career training in under a year. And almost all of their full-time programs are on that Ohio's in-demand jobs list. They offer training in IT, public safety, skilled trades, and health technologies, and their full-time programs are financial aid eligible for those who qualify, just like regular colleges and universities. You can call them, probably not too late to get in next semester. Give them a call at 740-642-1288. Or you can look them up on the web and get particular specific information at www.pickawayross.com. That's Pickaway Ross Career and Technology Center, another sponsor here on the podcast. Guys, we're going to harken back to our preview show here in this next segment, where you both kind of sat down and you went out and talked about potential POY, Players of the Year candidates. But we want to look back at that preview show where we did talk those POYs and first team, so forth, maybe even stretching it into the top 10 players. So how do you feel these elite players have performed up to this point? And ultimately, who were some players not on the early radar who are certainly there now? So it gives you a chance. Let's talk girls first, and then we'll come back and talk boys as well.
Well, I'll take a look here on the girls' side. I think, John, remember our list was pretty similar. I think, obviously, keep in mind Allison Basie only played her third and fourth games this week of the season, where they've had some really unique. I think she's getting healthier all the time. I know she was moving extremely well, starting around the West Union game. I thought in the Southeastern game she played well. I know the other night she obviously certainly impacted the game, had 23 against Paint Valley.
Yeah, that's
I think that, I think Olivia Smith, you mentioned her. I know Paint Valley is kind of a starting five that's hard to sort out, depends on what night you watch them, but with what Olivia does on the offensive and defensive glass, she's been a factor. I was trying to go back to my preview notes, John. I know I kind of mentioned Bailey Volgamore kind of as maybe of right there on the brink of that type of team. She's solid. Graves and Huff, I don't think they've done anything to hurt their stock. The Farmer, Petit, Mullins, Mullins has kind of come on strong. Petit's really been the one kind of maybe in the early going, although Mullins did have that big night the other night. Adina, to me, is the hard one to sort out. We'd mentioned Jaden Smith at the beginning, and they did. I would say on the outside, the two freshmen, you know, Williams and Garrison for sure. And then, you know, you and I both mentioned Avery Miller, which I think she's had a terrific year. And then I know, you know, we'd even mentioned with Zane Trace kind of Lauren Lane. I don't know, John, in terms of ranking them, I don't know that we have to do that right now. I think certainly they're at the top. Wouldn't you agree that when we were talking Basie and Graves, they've both been elite. Now, Adina's team starts to push their individuals higher and higher. But to me, as good as Smith is, don't you believe it's more of that collective talent that we've talked about more than maybe a player of the year candidate? Is that fair? Or how do you view kind of at the top of your list?
Well, you know, obviously with Basie, you know what you're going to expect, and then what you expect seems to be almost being exceeded with how good she's been the last week or so. Because, I mean, once she was getting healthy, you could tell early she wasn't fully healthy yet, but it feels like she's getting really close. And then Graves has been awesome. I mean, I think we expect her to be really good, but I think she's almost exceeded expectations at the same time. Adina's depth is one of those things where I just hope – you know, and this goes to something with Uniata Boys last year, where we had two players get on all league because of the depth we had. And I just hope that doesn't happen to Adina this year, regardless of how they end up, where your depth actually hurts you in awards. So, you know, I do think that will probably, at least for this year, and maybe next year, will probably keep them out of the hunt for player of the year because they're so balanced, but man, their depth is really good. You know, and that's kind of where I wouldn't say under the radar, because you had heard about, you know, Williams and Garrison coming up, but they've really, you know, I think exceeded expectations early. You mentioned Bailey Volgamore. I'd only seen her the one time last year. So I think she's kind of risen above the radar that I had her on. I knew she was a really solid player, but I think she's getting better and better.
Really good player. Yeah.
So, I mean, really impressed with her so far. You know, there's a lot of young talent in the league. I think Huff has probably exceeded expectations as well. Her game's been really impressive. Mullins had a slow start coming off volleyball and has been really good. Gabby Petit, like you mentioned, has been really special. She's probably been their best so far. But yeah, it's just, there's a lot of talent in this league. And I think the coaches are going to have a heck of a time when it comes down to making those all-league selections. Well, maybe the top couple aren't going to be that difficult to decide, but after that, it will definitely get a little hairier as we go on.
Well, I think the other thing that's interesting, Bruce, is you have to remember as a coach, it doesn't always have to be about results. You have to remember how you game plan for them. Mm-hmm. If they got your attention enough to have you a few sleepless nights and hours of film and hours of preparation with their name at the top of the scouting report, well, they're there for a reason. So just because you might hold them to a certain number, or they might struggle against you, that, you know, I think you have to remember what you thought about their talent level going into the game. Does that make sense? Like, sure. It's one of those things where, you know, you might hold a kid to 6 or 8 or 9 or 10 or whatever, then, and they might average 17. Well, what did you do that? I assume you treated them a little bit differently than that third or fourth best player on the other team. So I think that's important.
Yes, I agree completely. I think that, you know, the top of the scouting report typically is what you're going to focus on the most. And that's, you know, if you do a great job on them, that shouldn't keep them from getting a high spot on your team, because if they have great nights against everybody else, then that just says more about the game plan and your team's execution of it.
Mm-hmm. All right. We started out there taking in the girls, but have you addressed boys as well there, or do you have others? Yeah,
John, go ahead and get us started on the boys there, and I'll kind of fill in with my notes here. I'll kind of check off as you go, and I'll kind of add in.
Okay.
Well, I think with the boys, you know, I think you had Isaac Little as one. I had Logan Bennett as one. And I think that's going to be kind of how it is the rest of the year. Mm-hmm. You know, those two are just, they keep their teams going. If their teams need a bucket, they go get it. They can do some stuff defensively as well. Bennett's a high level rebounder as well. It's, outside of really the game against Miami, Trace Little was shot really well from the field this year as well. I think I just said as well like four times in that. So I know you as a language arts teacher probably would like me to differentiate my language. So I'll try to do that.
You could use as well or also or two.
Yes.
O spelling.
Yes. So, it's those two really make their teams go. But, we talked about Chris Chandler. He's been really good. Outside of that, little injury, which thankfully didn't carry over for him from the Unioda game. He was able to come back this past weekend and play. I think when you mentioned like a Sykes, he's been really special. Cordell Grubb, for the most part, has been really good. We talked about Robinson a little bit early on. A couple sleepers for me. I think Dax Estep for Paint Valley. I wasn't sure. Like, I loved his game last year coaching against him. I thought he was going to be somebody that could have a breakout, but I wasn't sure he was quite ready for it yet. And I think he's there. Derek Wheeler, you can't really say a ton with the Southeastern team with all of their struggles with the quarantine and whatnot, but he's been really good for him so far. I mentioned Robinson earlier. Dylan McDonald of Adina is another one who's just really steady. He goes with that senior group really well. He's going to be someone that's going to be a handful. If you have him like fourth or fifth on your scouting report, like that's how good that Adina team is if he's a fourth on the scouting report, man, you better have four real good defenders if he's going to be the one that you just kind of say, okay, well, he's got to go on our fourth best defender. And then also, we talked about him last week a little bit. Tavion Galloway for Unioda has been another one that, it's obviously as coming in as a freshman, was going to be under the radar in that way. But, man, he's been special. Cameron DeBoard for Unioda has been really good. Jarrett Garrison's bouncing back, kind of a bounce back year for him, for Adina. Caleb Smith, I really like his game for Huntington. They've struggled early on. I do think Westfall's balance is kind of making them kind of harder to gauge on this. And I'll tell you, the kid I'm probably happiest with or happiest for this year is St. Trace's Trey Miller. He seems to be averaging around 8 or 9 points a game. Hadn't really got a chance to play because he's been behind such a special group in front of him. But man, he was a problem for us last night. We lost him in transition a couple times. Plays good on ball defense. Not in the running for player of the year or anything, but he's one of those kids that can jump into the top 15 as another one for Zane Traces. A kid who just keeps getting better and better as he gets more varsity experience.
No, I think the list is obviously very thorough. I guess what I would add off of my notes is when you look at the standings and you kind of look, I think the player of the year, as we expect, it's kind of coming down to, the Bennett and Little type of thing. And a lot of that comes down to team success probably in a year like this. Then both of those rosters are going to have some depth when it comes to filling out a top 10 to top 15. I think you mentioned some difference-making performances. Robinson and Zane Trace has had some of those. And what I mean by difference-making performances is like end of the second half, when your team is in a matchup in terms of the standings games, I call them, like teams that are real close to you in the standings or maybe teams below you in the standings that you have to beat in order to kind of reach the status you want. And he's had some of those. He's had 20-point second halves. You mentioned his game against Westfall, correct? Mm-hmm. Cordell Grubb had one of those games against Huntington the other night in the second half. I'm telling you, they were in serious trouble where Huntington led the game at the end of the first quarter, led the game at halftime, had stretched their lead in the third quarter, and then all of a sudden, like very few kids can do. I mean, Grubb scored about 8 to 10 points just like right now, and it just changed the entire complexion of the game. Piketon's obviously a team that we believe is going to jump back up in the standings. Their schedule's kind of been, you know, with some of the tougher teams at the top. You've mentioned Chandler being really, really solid. I still think there's a couple kids there that are off to a slow start that I'm anxious to see if they get going a little bit. And then Southeastern, it's a tricky thing. But the one thing I wanted to mention there is I just think what Wheeler and Eastep did with some kids out was pretty impressive, because they obviously had the other team's focus and they were still putting up some of the numbers they did. So, you know, Westfall, just watching Westfall a little bit on stream here and getting a chance to know their kids. I think the Blackburn kid's a nice player. I think some of their guards are going to get better. And then I've talked about Huntington a little bit. So I think that's a good list. We'll see. We'll really know more, Bruce, once we turn the calendar to 2021 and get into the first half. You really need to see all of the matchups to really start to get a feel of this, but I like the ability to go through and mention a lot of kids' names and kind of talk about who's off to a good start. So I think that's a good topic.
All right, we will take a look back at the full year in just a moment. First, I want to talk about North Fork Animal Clinic. Dr. Blake Lund and his staff continue to support our podcast, and we really, truly appreciate that. You can find them at 2260 Anderson Station Road in Chillicothe. They are available by phone, 740-773-7387. And you can also look them up on the web at North Fork Animal Clinic. And they continue to support us, and we truly appreciate that. Guys, I just mentioned we're going to take one last look back and maybe talk a little bit here about the start of 2021, as we're going to be taking a week off for our podcast schedule. But when I do look back, I'm going to pose this question to you. What will you most remember about 2020 in terms of sports in the SVC? What will you most remember about 2020 in terms of sports?
I'll go first.
Okay.
I think I'll remember most the some of the teams that have reached greatness through adversity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was something where football season we didn't know was going to happen until the first week of the season.
Right.
Then multiple, I know the playoffs are a different breed this year, but multiple SVC teams won playoff games. Adina has arguably their best season ever. Winning two playoff games for them. Unita cross country team falling short of their goal and finishing third in the state of Ohio. Unita boys and girls soccer winning district championships. Our volleyball league, Adina, being as special as they were, and just the league in general, just doing what they always do. Obviously, missing baseball and softball and track was a heartbreaker for a lot of us. But, if there's anything to look for on that, is that, I think it's made all of us appreciate the opportunities that we're getting even more. Because like we mentioned at the beginning of the show, when I said, we'll play whenever against these teams on the with the lower levels. We just want to play.
Mm-hmm.
Like the kids want to play. We want to coach. We want these kids to have a chance to have some normalcy. And I think that's what I'll most remember, is just fighting through the adversity of everything.
Shane, what about you?
Well, again, I think the key is terms of sports here. Obviously there's a personal side of this, but in terms of sports, I guess for me, my answer, Bruce, still has to be divided a little bit. I'm too subjective to part of it, and then I try to be very objective to it. I'm very subjective to the baseball and the spring. If I'm being honest, I'll always remember a really empty feeling, a big hole and my career and a particular group that meant a lot to me in terms of baseball. Mm-hmm. So my feeling for those seniors in spring sports. But I'll remember that no other fall or winter has been truly affected in terms of sports, in terms of opportunity. You know, like spring was the one that was really taking the opportunity.
Right.
John just rattled off a bunch of really cool memories of kids that still got their season. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, if you're a cross country team, you still got to run all the way through to the state tournament. The volleyball teams got to play all the way through and go. Basketball. Think about the bookend here, John. Our basketball teams even had a chance at the end of the 1920 season to not lose an opportunity. Cam Evans was 24 hours away from not getting to be the all-time leading scorer at St. Trace, correct? Zane Trace got to play that out. So all of our teams were already eliminated, and then now all of our teams get to start normal. Do we miss some games every now and then? Do we reschedule them? Sure. You know, go back and ask last year's spring seniors if I would have been all right with them. So I think I'll always remember that empty feeling of the 2020 spring, but I'll remember with great optimism the ability to for all the other kids to get an opportunity to play all the other sports. And, you know, has it been easy? No, but we're continuing to go. And as a result, we still had some really cool things, you know, as John said, high finishes in the state tournament, teams going to the regional, teams in terms of individual milestones, 1,000-point scores. We're tracking two of them right now, one on the boys' side, one on the girls' side. We had the incredible finish, like I said, of the Cam Evans record last year and so forth. So it's those things, I think, that have made it really cool for our league to kind of make its way through this adversity and still come out with a lot of positives for our SVC student athletes.
Does the lack of the spring schedule, does that make you appreciate what's going on right now even more?
Well, it does, because, and I'm probably even more so, John, I'm sure, is in the same fight. Like the 2020 spring meant so much to me personally. I've been very open about it. It's still today. I probably think about it once or twice a day now. So, probably more so for me than most people, Bruce. But yeah, I think it should. I think it should make us very appreciative that, hey, we're getting to go to practice every day and work with these kids. I mean, these kids have become like your family. Like, if people not in coaching or don't play sports don't understand, like, these kids are like family to you. Like, it's really a cool thing to get to, like, go to practice tomorrow.
Yeah. But it still doesn't right the wrong that was done to the seniors, or if you call it the wrong. I've got to give that.
Yeah, I'm not even saying it was the wrong. I'm just saying it's what it was, right?
It kind of was what it was. Yeah.
Yeah, and for me, that's like, with Coach Rose, Nick Rose was our freshman coach, and he stepped down, and Coach Hoops asked if I thought I could do both freshman and JV, and I immediately said yes, because I was like, well – you know, it's something that I want to make sure to get the most out of for me and the kids, and not have to bring someone new in and all this stuff, because, you know, missing out on that spring, I think, has actually even made me more focused on this winter, because it's, you know, you never know.
Hey, and like, let John fool you. I just got a text from him the other day, Saturday morning. His freshman team hit 12 3-pointers in a freshman basketball game Saturday. I laughed for 10 miles after I read that text.
So that helped.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's
increased your focus, didn't it, John?
Hey. I will say that did help. That helped make the decision a little easier when I was like, I can do that. but yeah, it's just, you know, it's one of these things where it's, these kids are so special. Like, once you get to know them, and you don't want them to lose the opportunities to do what they've worked so hard on, or, for some kids, it might be this helps them get through certain things. And this is for me. I've been very open to it about the mental health side of it, because when I was growing up, I didn't realize I was dealing with all these extra issues until I got done playing sports. I got done coaching for a little bit, and I was like, oh man, I got some stuff I got to work on,
right?
Because you know, I always had something to fall back on. I had something to look forward to.
That's right.
You know, if you take away something that you love, I mean, it could be anything. It doesn't have to go to sports. It can be, you know, art. It can be music. It can be some sort of hobby that you love. Well, if that gets taken away, and then like for Shane, I know with your group, they'd work their butts off for years, and then they're so close to getting to do it, and then it's taken away. It's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
I don't like people that just say, "Oh, it's just sports." They don't understand. Because in the grand scheme of things, yeah,
chances are they have something like that in their life.
Exactly.
It may not be sports, but it, like you say, it might be playing a musical instrument. It might be a relationship with somebody else that, you know, for whatever reason goes away. It's a big part of yourself that's not there and not available.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's well said, Bruce, because that's, to me, it's just, you know, it's something you love, and that's something you love doing. So it doesn't have to be sports. It can be anything. Yeah. It's going to affect you negatively. So that's why, you know, and then add in my team, my freshman guys hitting those 12 threes. And that makes things really fun to go to.
We understand. And I think most of our listeners will probably understand, too. They're listening to this because they like sports. They like sports in the SVC, and they fully understand what you guys are saying, knowing what you gave up last spring and what you got going on this winter. So, well, guys, like I said, we're not going to be recording next week, which I believe would have been published on Monday the 28th, the podcast. So we'll wait until the following following Monday, which is January the 4th, I think, is when we're next published. If that's January the 4th. But so that'll be show 298. But during that period of time that we're going to be off, namely January the 2nd, Adina is going to be at Uniodo in a boys showdown for the SVC. So why don't we kind of talk just a little bit about that before we give the contact information? What are your thoughts on that big matchup?
Well, John, you don't have to get too much into the whole strategy thing if you don't want the coaching. Just talk about what you think the matchup will mean and kind of maybe a particular thought that you might have on. Then I'll try to maybe break it down a little bit more.
Well, I think we had, you know, the second matchup last year was just kind of, you know, it was a very emotional night for Adina. So that one was almost, you can kind of throw that away. Because it was, you know, it was right after the car wreck and everything, and they were just kind of trying to get back to some normalcy. So if you look back at the first one from last year, I thought we did a good job of handling the pressure, did a fairly good job on Bennett. That's something, obviously, for anybody that's going to beat Adina, they're going to have to do a good job on him. But then, you know, Preston Sykes is the competitor of the century in the SVC, and can do so many little things. Then I mentioned earlier Throckmorton's defensive ability. He's going to be able to get in you. So that's where I think the teams kind of match up similar in a way is, you know, they've got a really good defensive guard that can get on to that. I would assume Throckmorton's probably going to be on Little. I would say that, you know, Gunnar Greenwalt, who can really shoot it for us, is going to probably be on somebody like a Garrison to put some extra ball pressure on him and whatnot. Just where I think that's something that other schools may not have is the off guard that can get in the point guard, you know, really make things difficult defensively. I think, man, it's a game that Unio is going to want to, you know, not make ugly. Like, we don't say it's ugly, although last night we did say that was a gritty, not pretty game. Because, you know, that happens sometimes. But I think in that night, we're going to do the things that we do, and we're going to do them pretty well, and they're going to do what they do. It's going to be pretty well. And it was a weird matchup for them last year. I do think they're better this year. I think they're more equipped for matching up with us this year. So I think it's going to be a tall task for us. But I also think it's going to be a tall task for them because it's, you know, it's two really good teams that are going to be matching up. Hopefully we both get through it and can play at full strength and, I'm excited for it. We got a couple of big games until then, but I'm really looking forward to January 2nd.
Yeah, I think as I break it down from more of a basketball sense, Bruce, I think it's two teams that can really lock you down on the defensive end. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times what happens in these matchups where teams know each other so well, it comes down to two ways you score. Either better offense beats really good defense, or you're going to have to get some people to execute in that third and fourth and fifth option and that quick hitter. You know, I mean, a lot of those quick hitters or a lot of those plays, your number one option, if they're going to go score, like I said, it's going to have to be against really good defense, and it's just going to have to be with elite offensive talent, or you're going to have to find ways to create some offense away from the stars. And I think that's what's impressive about this team. I watched Isaac Little the other night, kind of just easily get, you know, almost 20 points in three quarters. But it was the fact that he had three teammates knock down triples in the first half. And when that starts to happen, you start to sit there as opposing coach and you're like, well, now what do we do? You know what I mean? Like it's one of those where you try to take a certain thing away. Same way with this Adina group. You know, you understand that if you're going to single up on the likes of Logan Bennett and Preston Sykes, it's very difficult to guard them, but it's also very difficult to guard them without fouling. So you know, now it's a situation where you get going. And I mentioned, you know, in past shows, you know, Jarrett Garrison, you know, almost halfway into the season now, you have Garrison averaging just shy of 10, and you have Dylan McDonald averaging just shy of 10, and they're doing it with some really elite shooting from the floor. Well, I would even go as far to say, you know, can a Shipley or a Davis Kearns or someone like that maybe knock down a couple shots to space the floor? Those are the types of daggers that really can challenge the other team's defensive game plan. So I think it's going to be a very physical game. I think it's going to be a game that where two older teams should stay pretty composed, should play really, really hard, and it's going to come down to an execution. I think depth is something Uniota's had a big advantage on in the past. I think this Adina team does have a little bit more depth. I think they have multiple defenders that can match up with certain kids that in the years past they have not been ready to do. So I think that's an improvement. It should be a terrific basketball game. I'm looking forward to breaking it down, but I think early foul trouble and some of those things will be interesting. How the game's called is really fascinating to me as well, and who can adjust from there. So I think it's a really, really good basketball game. I think you could argue that you have anywhere from 4 to 7 of the top 15 players in the league playing in this game.
Well, we will know by the next time we talk to you how that came out, and I'm sure we'll talk it over and review it probably quite a bit that next podcast, which will come out, as I mentioned, on Monday, January the 4th. In the meantime, if you would like to submit a question, provide some input, we'd love to hear about it, and you can contact us. Shane's email is admin1@svcsportszone.com. On Twitter, he's available at the handle SVC Sports Zone. On Facebook, he maintains two profiles, Shane Combs SVC Sports Zone and svcsportszone.com. John is available via email at jbruce1018@yahoo.com. On Twitter, his handle is Coconut Wall Papa. And should mention that either of these two gentlemen are tweeting. They use the hashtag SVC Sports Talk to do so. So you can search on SVC Sports Talk and see what content is flying around out there on the Twittersphere. You can also call our DBK Media Services voice line. Do so by dialing 740-569-3254. And if you see our content on Facebook or Twitter, we'd love to have you, send it along, sharing it on Facebook, maybe retweeting it on Twitter. If you're listening on iTunes, we always ask for a great review and a good rating. That would help us out. Guys, did we miss anything tonight? What is your thinking as we enter a little week off here, holiday time? Anything?
I think looking at my notes here, I didn't really find a spot in the show the way I was hoping to maybe throw in a little bit more defensive talk. I thought the just in the games that I was a part of, I know Cameron DeBoer is really an outstanding defender. I mean, obviously Uniota's team and the way they pressure the ball and things like that, that has a lot to do with it. But just when I watch his technique and his footwork and the way he sees both ball and man, he's outstanding. Watching him guard Grubb Friday night, I don't believe Grubb took a shot in the first half in that game. I couldn't remember. So it wasn't even that he was held scoreless. I don't think he took a shot. Abby Stanforth guarding Gabby Petit earlier in the week, and then working really hard on Allison Basie last night. Allison's athleticism in the open court got loose. I thought Abby did a terrific job defensively throughout the week. You mentioned Michaela Lovely. I'm glad you did. She's really been a defensive thing. So I had several kids down defensively throughout my notes. Zane Trace's boys just in general as a group. I mean, think about some of the numbers that they're putting up here in certain quarters and certain things. That's been impressive too. So that's kind of where I'm at. John, anything in your notes that you want to throw in there?
No, I felt pretty good about what I went over at least. I'm that good at it. So I do think with some of the defensive players in the league, I do think they can make it really difficult to score. I've really enjoyed watching. I feel like I've seen more girls games this year because our practice schedule has made me less bitter since I haven't had to be after the girls games any. And that's made it, really difficult. And also being able to watch it, streaming, that's made it much easier to watch as well. So I've appreciated that. My last thing, I hope you guys all have a good holiday season. I hope everyone can stay healthy more than ever. Be smart, make sure these kids can still keep going after the holidays. And, look forward to, I'll be back in the gym in the morning, but I look forward to staying in the gym and seeing these kids throughout the holidays, and hopefully see you guys soon. And everyone out there, have a great holiday season.
No question about it. Bruce, Merry Christmas to you.
And Merry Christmas to both of you and your families as well.
And all the Vinton County land down there, and appreciate all that you do. And again, we're going to take the 1 week off, have some non-conference basketball. Make sure you're checking out the website. We'll get that. And as wrestling continues, I know some of our wrestling teams throughout the area have been in quarantine. I'm sure that schedule will pick back up a little bit in January. And then don't forget our junior high scoreboard and our JV freshman scoreboard. We have those posted. We get about 80-90% of the scores. We're still trying to get out there. I think a lot of people don't realize that we do that. Again, that's why we try to really take pride in what we do. Our website is 100% about our league, and that's why I've always been real honest. As much as I like high school sports, I don't care as much what's going on around the other leagues, because we're all about serving the Side of Valley Conference. So check that out. The YouTube channel, I had a nice interview with Isaac Little the other night. We're about a week away, hopefully week and a half away from putting out just an absolute doozy of a production. That's going to be a true treat for SVC basketball fans. So that's a little teaser that I've been putting out there for weeks now, and that's coming up closer and closer. So guys, on that note, Merry Christmas. We'll get on out of here. Make sure you're checking out the website. We'll always do our best to keep it 100% SVC 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the SVC Sports Talk Podcast. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com. Join us next time for SVC Sports Talk and visit SVCSportsZone.com, where we're 100% SVC 100% of the time.